Hey, so yeah, my name is Reagan. I just want to thank Pastor Gilbert for having me speak with you guys. I think we contacted him on Thursday, so this is such short notice. I'm thankful that he's allowing me to share the opportunity that I have coming up starting this July. I'm from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I grew up in Nottingham Missionary Baptist Church for 22 years. And most of you do know my dad, Alan, with the Graceman. He's the one who does most of the talking, and he thinks he's the best-looking one in the group. He knows it's true. The reason I'm here is because I got back from serving with YOM Ministries this March for 6 months. And for those of you who have never heard of it, it stands for Youth with a Mission. It's a ministry that was established in 1960 with the purpose of getting to know God and making him known to other people. One of the biggest ministries that they run is called a DTS, which is what I did, and that stands for Discipleship Training School. And I did that with a ministry called Holoholo, which was based out of Kona, Hawaii. And how that works is you spend 3 months in lecture phase, which is in a classroom setting, and I did that in Hawaii. And during that time, we're learning about God's character, how to evangelize, and how to recognize his voice. And after we learn to recognize his voice, we're learning how to step out in faith and work through that. And then after we have lecture phase, we spend 3 months during outreach phase, and that's when we go across seas to other countries and we're spreading the gospel through open airs. And during open airs, we're able to give messages, testimonies, and just get to know the people that show up to the open airs. And we do that in streets, in schools, malls, and hospitals, and anywhere that they'll let us. The theme of our school was Matthew 6:33. And that is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And how that looked for my group was we really pressed into the word. A lot of us started reading through the Bible, Genesis 1:1, and we're just reading through it. We pressed in prayer. We did a lot of intercession and just praying for each other. And we put others first. We had 20 students in our group, and 14 of them were girls. So with girls comes a lot of conflict. So we were able to just learn how to work through that and just put each other's needs first. And during the prayer, it was really special to us because every morning we would just pray about what God wants us to do, who he wants us to speak to. And we just chose to seek God's heart in what we were going to do instead of doing what we thought was best. So back to lecture phase. During that time, we were able to embrace our identities as sons and daughters of Christ. We were able to release shame and experience forgiveness and grace and truly walk in righteousness like never before. And as we sought God, some of us were able to discover our calling. A lot of the students in our class are continuing in missions, and just some of them are going back to school, but we're able to see what God wants for our lives as we seek him. And during outreach, my team, we went to Thailand and the Philippines. We spent 6 months, I mean, sorry, 6 weeks in Thailand and then 4 weeks in the Philippines. And during that time, we were able to just tell people about Jesus and how he died on the cross for their sins. And that was really special because a lot of the people that we come in contact with have never heard of God before or Jesus, and they're just clueless to Christianity. So it was really awesome to experience that. And we were able to just step out in faith. A lot of us were given opportunities for the first time to give messages from God that he laid on our heart, to share our testimonies and pray for people. A lot of us had never done that before. It's scary to do. So we just stepped out in faith, and we had to get a lot of courage to do it. But it does get easier, and it's very rewarding. Something that's a big part of our ministry with Holoholo is children's ministries. In Thailand, we were able to teach English at two schools there. We returned to an orphanage every year where the students The students live in this orphanage. The adoption agencies in Thailand is really messy. It's really hard to adopt kids there. So these kids that are living in this orphanage are going to stay there till they're 18. And we were able to, after they come back from school, we were able to play games with them, do Bible studies, and we do worship with them every night. And this is a really important thing, that they get special attention from each one of us. We're able to build relationships with them and just call out giftings in them and just raise them up. And a lot of these kids feel rejection, so it was really nice to see some of them come out of their shell and just feel loved. And then in the Philippines, we also do feeding programs, which was started a few years back. When we first started this, the children were weighed. And as the feeding program goes on, they're weighed monthly. And we can really see how they're gaining weight and becoming more healthy. They're given every day after school and on Saturdays, they're given a drink that's very rich in protein and nutrients. And it also has deworming effects because these kids, they're eating bad food, eating anything they can find, and a lot of them are getting worms from the food that they're eating. So this drink helps to just kill those worms and help them gain weight. And then we also run three camps. It's called Camp Lakaki, and they have two in Kona, Hawaii, and then one in the Philippines. And during this time, it's a four-day camp. These kids are given three meals a day. We do Bible lessons, worship, games, and crafts. And something really special about this camp in the Philippines was when it was started 10 years ago this spring, there was a student there named Rodolfo. He was 19 years old, and he'd never accepted Christ as his Savior. And he was able to do it that spring as he felt the Holy Spirit and he experienced Jesus. And then over the next few years, he started serving with this camp. And last summer, he was able to get his visa approved to come to Hawaii, where he's being discipled by the man who started our ministry. His name is Paul Chinen. And he's being discipled and will pastor a church that our ministry is planting in the Philippines. So it's really special that his visa was able to be approved. And he's learning how to be a pastor, how to live by the Bible, and all the paperwork for this church and blessings from the local churches are set. They're just praying about where they're going to open this church and just doing a lot of praying. So they're hoping that this will open in 2019. So the reason that I did YWAM was I was in nursing school and I wasn't really happy with what I was doing. It didn't give me the satisfaction that I thought it would. And then other things of this world was not satisfying to me. And I just wanted to experience the fullness of God that I saw other people experiencing. It never seemed completely real to me. I always believed in God, but I never really experienced him in a powerful way before. And also, I wanted to get away, and I know that God uses all those little things to get us to follow his will. So he used all of that to get me to sign up for YWAM. I'd seen other people that had done it, and I know that it changed their lives. So I signed up last spring, and I was able to start in September. And I know that I gained a lot more from it than I had expected. And I'm able to now walk in my identity as a daughter in Christ. And something that I had trouble with before was believing that God has big plans for me. I always saw him doing big things with other people. And I always thought he'll use other people for missions and to serve in church, and I'll just sit back and watch. I never thought I was good enough to do that. But I was able to break away from that thought, and I now feel loved, and I know that I'm forgiven by God for all the sins that I've committed, and I'm able to live by faith. And one way that I can do that is this July I'm going to start working with this ministry that I was a part of. I'll be doing that for 2 years, and I really feel that God has called me to this, and I'm stepping out in faith, going to do this, leaving my family for 2 years, going across the country. And one reason I'm really excited for this is because I can see the transformation that happens in students' lives. We had a kid in our class named Josh. I don't know why he came to YOM, because he was atheist. We were all really confused why he was there. A lot of kids go that grew up in church, they have good relationships or they have weak relationships, but I don't know why an atheist went, but he actually did end up accepting Christ, and now he's continuing in missions. And it's just really special to see how God changed his life, and he changes so many lives through this. So my job as a volunteer for this ministry is, I'll help with leading the DTSs, which is half the year, and then the other half of the year when we're in Hawaii, we're really involved with the local high school. They run a cruise ministry night, which is every Friday, and this is really special for the kids that don't feel comfortable going to church. For whatever reason, we're able to just go to them and reach out to them. And during this time, we give Bible messages, we play games with them, and just get to know them. We're really involved with tutoring the football boys and serving them meals. And then twice a year, we have soccer tournaments, which is a good way for us to raise money. And we use this money to give scholarships to the local high school. A lot of these kids feel like they can't get off the island. There's a high teenage pregnancy rate, a lot of depression in these high schools, and some of these kids feel like they're never going to get off this island, and I know it's hard to believe in Hawaii, but there is a lot of sadness there, and these scholarships are really encouraging to them, and some of these kids never would have made it to college if they didn't have this money. And we also run another ministry called Deep and Beyond, which is a good way for people with mental disabilities or physical disabilities to get into the water and snorkel. And this is special because we have volunteers that are not part of our ministry from the community that help with us. And it's a good way to just unite the community and raise up everybody there. So, yeah, starting this July, I'll be serving with Holo Holo Ministries. I'll be discipling kids and just serving in any way that I can. And this is not a paid position. It's all volunteer. I do have support letters and prayer cards with me. If you feel led to support me, I'd be happy to give you one. And I'd really appreciate your prayers for me and for the students coming this September, that they'll have an open heart, a teachable heart, and that their lives will change too. So I just want to thank you guys for having me here, and it was good to see you guys.
I'm sure if you have any questions about this ministry, any deeper, further, want more information about it, you just see Miss Reagan after the service, and she'll be glad to share with you what all God's doing. Turn in your Bibles tonight with us into Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. Anybody that is familiar and has read in the Word of God, you know what's happening in Exodus 14. It's the actual story of the Exodus. The children of Israel have left Egypt. They've got to the Red Sea. This is where God took them to. It's not where they went on their own, but it's where God took them to. And when they got there, they learned a very, very valuable lesson, a lesson that all of us could heed tonight. It's good to see Brother Stanley out tonight. Amen. What a blessing just to be able to worship with him. It's been so long since we got to worship, and him and Miss Reba made it out a couple weeks ago, and then he wound up back in the hospital again. But it's just good to see Brother Stanley out, and it's good to see Paul back out tonight. He's been away and come back. He said he's been hurting, so y'all keep Brother Stanley and Paul in your prayers. Keep George in your prayers as he's recovering from all that he's going through and getting ready to try to get a new prosthesis fitted so he'll be able to get out and back to church. And it just seems like there's a multitude of folks in our church that are sick. Keep Brother Harvey Davis in your prayers, especially as he's just having a really bad year. And he just made a plan. He's ready to go on home. He's ready for the Lord to take him home. And I think he would sooner be there than he would here right now. But he said it's whatever the Lord wishes and wills. So just keep these folks in your prayers. If you found Exodus 14, we're going to be again reading here in verse number 13. And everybody looks tired tonight, so we'll just let you sit still. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift up thou thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen." Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of being in your house tonight. We thank you for each one that's come this way. And Lord, we just pray tonight that all that we say and do, God, will just honor you, will uplift you and glorify you. But Father, we just ask you as we do so, Lord, to strengthen our hearts and help to encourage us, Lord, as we go on the journey and go in the way, Father, and realizing and knowing, Father, that you have a plan for each of our lives, and help us, God, to see how we might carry out your plan for us. We ask these things tonight, realizing that we're feeble, realizing that we're needy, and realizing, God, tonight that you are everything that we need, and we ask it in your name. We say amen. You know, sometimes we hear the people use the expression that Moses used here in verse number 13, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And sometimes we get the impression that that means just to do nothing, that means just to quit, that means just to stop. And I want to preach to you on this thought tonight that standing still doesn't mean doing nothing. Amen? And it don't. It means that we're to be vigilant, but we're learning as we go. It means that as we're going, there are going to be obstacles that we're going to face and problems that we're unsure of, and we need to wait upon the Lord. It means that we need just to learn in our journey and in everything that we're facing that God is the one that's in control, and we need to let him be in control. Standing still means waiting upon the Lord. It means seeing what he's going to do. Moses said, stand still and see what God's going to do. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. And that goes contrary to what we want to do as human beings. Amen? It goes contrary to human nature. When something happens, we want to get into the midst of things and we want to take action somehow or another. But Moses tells the children of Israel, stand still. You know what they wanted to do? You know what they were whining and crying about? What it was like back in Egypt. What it was like back in bondage. And Moses says, just hold on here a minute. Stand still and see what God's going to do. Stand still and learn to wait on God. Have you ever been in a situation and you wanted to do something and God just spoke to your heart and you knew you better wait? Amen? And because you waited, you found out that God worked things out better for you than you would have ever worked it out for yourself. Because you waited on the Lord, you found out that if you'd have done what you was going to do, you'd have gotten in trouble. You know, we act so brashly and rashly, just like Peter did sometimes. Amen? Don't we get that way? We want to rush right into judgment. We want to rush right into something, and it never turns out good. We want to go into something blindly and try to deal with something, and we don't even know what it is that we're dealing with in totality. God brought them to this place. God's the one that sent them here, and he brought them here for this purpose. Amen? That they might learn to trust him, might learn to wait on him. Everything that he's already shown them, everything that he's already done before them, should have told them that God is able to meet their needs, and he's going to meet their needs where they are, and they don't have to go blindly into the place where they got to go, because God is going to go there before them. God's going to make the way for them. He brought them to the place where they're at. And if he brought them there, don't you think he's going to take you on further? He brought you out of Egypt. How many was in bondage to sin and God brought you out? Amen. How many has God told you that he's got a place prepared for you and he's going to take you there? How many are looking forward to going where God wants you to do, but sometimes along the way you try to follow blindly? you don't get into the Word, you don't pray, you don't seek God's face in the decisions that you need to make. You know, when you go somewhere blind, you know what happens to blind people? They stumble. You know what happens to blind people leading blind people? The Bible says they both fall in the ditch. Amen? You know what happens when a church don't wait on God before it makes decisions? It makes bad decisions and it falls and it falters and it fails. It has problems. We need to learn that standing still doesn't mean that we're doing nothing. It means that we're seeking God's face. We're waiting to see what God wants us to do. We're wanting His direction. It means that we're praying. It means that we're in the Word, reading the Word. It means that we're fasting, if that's what it takes. Sometimes it's big things that we're dealing with. It's awesome things that we're dealing with in our personal lives. And we just need to know what God wants us to do. And we need to make every effort in our lives to seek out what God is wanting us to do. Not just sit there and, well, wait on God to deal with it. I believe in the old saying, I believe God can do anything. But you know, I like that old saying says, call on God, but roll away from the rocks. Amen? God expects us to do our part. When we do our part, He does His part. Amen? We find out that we get to where He wants us to be, and things work out in our life the way that they should be. That's what Isaiah got to tell the people over there in Isaiah 40, 31. You remember that verse? They that wait upon the Lord. Amen. It wasn't those that rush into judgment. It wasn't those that act blindly. You don't know what's going on. You don't know why God's doing it, but you're waiting on the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what that means? You're going to come out on the winning side. Amen. Amen. When you seek God's face, standing still means that you're wanting God to work and you're willing to wait on God to work. And you're going to keep praying through, reading through, studying through, doing whatever it takes until God gives you the assurance, amen, of what it is that you need to do. Standing still doesn't mean going back. Amen. Sometimes we think, well, yeah, I've got this far. And you see so many people, so many Christians that God calls them into something or God puts them in a place. And they go so far, and they're on fire for a little while. And then all of a sudden you see them backing up. I hate doing this with visitors here. I get mean sometimes, Alan. 2 weeks ago, then they said I was real mean. But sometimes you all volunteer to do things. And you're on fire for a while. And then all of a sudden it's... And you start backing off. I'm not the only one that sees it. I'm not the only one that knows it. It happens. And we as human beings are like that so many times. When something's new and exciting and something's piqued our interest, we're into it. But pretty soon it isn't all that we thought it was going to be. And it wasn't exciting as we thought it was going to be. It wasn't as fun as what we thought it was going to be. It wasn't maybe as rewarding as we thought it was going to be. And start backing away. Standing still doesn't mean backing up and going back. You know, every time something happened with the children of Israel after they started this journey, even, you know, right here, back in verse number 12, what was they saying? Back in verse number 12, it's not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. Amen? That they keep looking back. They're wanting to get back to where they were. They'd rather be in bondage, amen, than to be free men. That they'd rather be the head of a rat than the tail of a lion. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in bondage. I don't know about you. I don't want to be in subjection to sin or anything else that God has brought me from. I want to enjoy what He's promised. He told them He was going to take them to a land that flows with milk and honey. He promised them something better than what they had, and yet they were wanting to go back into the hog pen. The dog returns again to the vomit. Amen. That's human nature. We want to go back. And then in our Christian lives, when something happens, and it don't happen just the way that we was hoping it was going to happen, or thinking it was going to happen, or dreamed and imagined that it should have happened, and everything starts happening different, the first thing we want to do is go back. In verse 14, God says, It's 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Where were they going to go? The sea was before them. Keep going. Amen. That's where God said to go. This is where God has brought me to. He's brought me down here to the Red Sea. He's brought me down here. I got the wilderness on this side. I've got the sea on this side. I've got Pharaoh behind me. There's no place else to go. Where am I supposed to go? Go wherever God tells you to go. He said, go forward. Amen. He didn't say go back. Has He ever told any of you to go back to where you was, to where He brought you from? Has He told any of you to go back into the muck and the mire of sin that He brought you up out of? No, He hasn't. He's told us to go forward. He's told us to keep plowing forward. We don't understand it. He said, but stand still and just know where God wants you to be. Standing still doesn't mean doing nothing. It just means not going back. Amen. Amen. You know, you can take that term stand still and you could use it two different ways. Amen. You say, stand still, I'm doing nothing. Or you say, stand still, irregardless of what's happening. Amen. Irregardless of what's coming your way, stand still. That's just like over in Ephesians chapter 6. He's talking about put on the armor of God. He said, having done all to stand, he says, stand therefore. When you've done everything that you can to stand, keep standing. Amen. When you don't know what's happening and you're seeking God's face and you're seeking God's will, just keep standing still. Amen. Don't go back. Don't falter and don't fail. Don't let the devil convince you that where you was is better than where God is going to take you because of where you are right now. Where you are right now probably isn't always the best place to be. You know, they say we're always coming out of a problem, in a problem, or getting ready to go into a problem. Amen? I don't know where you are in that cycle in your life, but I can assure you of this. Right now, wherever God's got you is the best place you can be. You don't ever want to go back to where He's brought you from. Amen? I can't understand that. God's feeding them. He's giving them manna. God has met their every need, and all they can do is moan, whine, and complain. Well, back in Egypt, we had onions and leeks and watermelons, and we had all this stuff back in Egypt. Yeah, and you was in bondage too. Yes, you was a slave too. Yes, you was a servant to an ungodly bunch of heathens too. What makes you think that is so much better than what God has got in store for you? He's got you here right now. The only reason they spent all those years in the wilderness was because of their own hard-headedness. Amen? Because they wasn't willing to trust God. Standing still means going forward. Standing still means not giving up. Standing still means when you look at that individual that's going through a problem, and you see that that hell has assaulted them from every side and in every way, they're standing still. Amen. The enemy hasn't taken them down. They're standing still. Amen. Standing still doesn't mean doing nothing. It means trusting God. Putting your faith in God. Dependent upon God to do what God says He's going to do. Did he not tell them that he had a place for them? Amen. Did he not tell them that he was going to take them to the place? Amen. Did he not tell them that he was going to do all these things to Pharaoh? To harden Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh would let them go. And they would know that he was God and the Egyptians would know that he is God. Didn't he do all those things? All those signs and wonders and miracles that he did before Pharaoh, all those plagues that he brought down upon Pharaoh, all those things that the Egyptians had to suffer, but the children of God didn't. The children of God didn't suffer all those flies and all those frogs and all that darkness and all the hail and all that stuff. The children of God were exempt from all that. Can you imagine, I'm looking out here, you ever been in a place and you see it raining on one side of the road and it's not raining on the other side of the road? It's pouring the rain right here. But you're riding down the road on this side, it's just as dry as can be. Can you imagine being a child of God in Egypt and being over here on this side and you see the flies swarming so thick that the whole cloud of flies just makes the whole land black. But there's not a fly in Goshen. There's not a fly in my house. There's not a fly anywhere near me. But the Egyptians are walking around with their faces covered. What happened? That sounded weird, didn't it? I have to remember that to make good sound effects. Amen. But they're running around with their faces covered. They're running around trying to protect their food and protect everything they have from the flies. It's black with flies, but there's nothing over here. Then the next plague comes, and everywhere you look over there, there's frogs and everything. There's frogs jumping out their windows. There's frogs jumping out the doors. There's frogs jumping out of the chariots as they're running down the road. There's frogs getting squished under the chariots as they're riding down the roads. Frogs everywhere. Frogs, frogs, frogs. But there ain't a frog in Goshen. Why? Because I'm one of God's people. Amen. And then that awful night when the death angel passed through all of Egypt. And the wail went up from the Egyptians as the firstborn in every home that wasn't under the blood was touched by the death angel. And hearts were broken. But in the house of the Hebrews, the house of the Egyptians, not a soul that was under the blood had been touched. And now God has brought them down to the Red Sea. God brought them out with a high hand. God brought them out, paid their wages for their labor. God brought them out with more than they ever went in with. And he's brought them to the Red Sea. And they've already seen everything that God has done. How hard. You know, we pick on them. We pick on people in the Bible. Well, I can't believe they've done that. I can't believe they do that. Why not? We do the same thing. That's right. We've seen God do mighty things. We've seen God do great things. We've seen God do wondrous things. And yet we'll sit around and say, I just don't know. I'm just not sure. Maybe God don't care. Yeah, he cares. But he just wants you to trust him. Yeah, he can do it. But he's not going to do it your way. He wants you to trust him. Yeah, he's going to bring deliverance, but he's not going to do it in your time. He's not going to do it in your way. He's going to do it in a way that you have no doubt in your mind whatsoever that it was him who had done it. See, standing still means trust in the Lord, irregardless of what everything looks like around us. The sea before you, the Egyptians behind you, and God saying, move forward. He tells Moses, Verse 16, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon the horsemen. The psalmist says, come, behold the works of the Lord. Psalm 46. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. He says, be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes we just got to wait on the Lord and trust him and know that he is God, and know that because he is God, he's going to do what only God can do when God's ready to do it.
Amen.
Told Moses, said, stretch your rod out over the sea and divide it. I don't think man had ever seen such a spectacle. Man had ever witnessed such a thing as the sea being divided. God told Moses the children of Israel would go through on dry land. And when the Egyptians followed, he was going to drown them. He was going to get honor upon them. And what did God do? Just exactly what God said he was going to do. Just like he did when he told Pharaoh if he didn't let his people go, these plagues were going to happen. Just like he told Pharaoh if he didn't let his people go, the death angel was going to pass through Egypt. Just like he told his people, the Egyptians are going to let you go. They're going to tell you to leave. And when you ask them for anything, they're going to give you whatever you ask for. So ask of them gold and silver. Ask him for all these things because they're going to give it to you. And just like God said, it had happened. And just like God said at the Red Sea, it happened. But you see, they weren't all in one accord there. Because they had lost sight of who it was that they were following. They weren't following Moses. They were following God. They lost sight of what he was able to do. Moses hadn't done all these wonders and miracles and sent all these plagues in Egypt. It was God. They lost sight. And when they lost sight, they were ready to give up. The angel of the Lord was still going before them. The Bible says he moved from in front of them and moved behind them so that he came between them and the Egyptians. And he kept the Egyptians in the dark. And he gave light unto his people until they got passed over the sea and they got to safety on the other side. You see, folks, sometimes as God's people, when we begin to get complacent, we begin to lose sight. When we begin to lose sight, we want to just stand still. But when we stand still the way that we want to stand still, we want to do nothing. But when we stand still and wait on the Lord and seek the Lord and desire his will to be accomplished, we find victory in our lives because we realize that he has a plan. We realize that he already knows the end from the beginning. We realize he's already got a way. Sometimes we just need a way of escape. We don't know how we're going to get it, but God's already got it planned. Over in Ecclesiastes, the preacher says, Say not thou, what is the cause of the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. It's not worth going back. It's not worth looking back. You know, sometimes we look back and we talk about not just the sin and not just the things that God has delivered us from, but we look back and we talk about the services they used to have. We talk about the services, the great revivals and the great this and the great that, and we get caught up in that. The same God that brought them revivals is the same God that can bring revival again. The same God that stirred those hearts, the same God that can stir hearts again. See, we want to stand still and do nothing when we lose sight of who God is. But when we realize that He's the one that's in control, we're willing to stand still and seek Him out and wait on Him. We're willing to stand still as we go forward. We're willing to trust Him as we face the obstacles that's in our lives. Tonight, I don't know what you're dealing with. It's just a message God gave me. That's all there is. Standing still doesn't mean doing nothing. It means seeking God's face. It means moving forward. It means trusting Him. And tonight, maybe there's an obstacle in your life. Maybe something that you're struggling with, something that you're dealing with. And God has spoke to your heart tonight through His Word. Because you've been standing still and doing nothing. And you need to stand still and learn to wait on Him, to follow His direction, and to trust Him. So we stand at our feet.